Well, Kurto, today's daf is daf Ayin Tes. Daf Ayin Tes in Bava Metzias, we learn for Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael Nesunim Atzara. We're at the 11th line down on Ayin Tes Amar Aleph. Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Amar Rav. Hasukha Sechamor. Again, we're talking about cases where you rent something from somebody and perhaps you misused it or something else befell the item that you rented. In this case, you rented a donkey, which is used for transport, or in this case, to ride on. Animal died halfway through the to your destination. The animal died. So you pay for, you only can go half a trip. So let's say you went a half a day's journey. So he pays for half a day, not for a whole day. But ain't lo alav ela tarmus. He can only have a complaint. I feel you'd be upset with the owner of the donkey because he said you rented me a weak animal, right? A weak animal. Why'd you rent me a weak animal? But he can only complain. He only has a complaint. He doesn't really have a monetary claim. What's the case? If he can rent another one, there's plenty of stops on the way to rent another donkey. So terumas mayavidite. Why would he have any complaint? He paid for half a day. Now let him go hire another donkey for the other half of the day or for the rest of his trip. And if he can't find another one, agra boy lemesavle, why should he have to pay? In other words, I rented an animal to go from Chicago to New York. In Cleveland, it fell apart. The animal died. What am I supposed to do if I can't rent another one? Why should I have to pay you at all? He says, you really cannot find, it's not easy to find another one to rent. And mishum d'amar leih, because the owner could tell him, ilu bois lemeisa ad hocha lo agra boy lemeisa, had you rented it just to go to Cleveland, halfway, wouldn't you have to pay for that too? In other words, you did go part of the way, and that's why you have to pay for half. You can complain, but you have no monetary claims. If when he rented him, he told him, "I'll rent you a donkey." So it's like you go to a rent a car place. If the car dies, something happens to it, they give you another one. So if he rented it, stam a chamor, the owner should give him another one. It's the owner's responsibility. You paid for a whole trip, and the animal only lasted a half a trip, so he should give you a different donkey. If he told him this chamor, you're renting this chamor only. Well, if you rented this chamor, so this chamor is supposed to give you your trip. Now the chamor died, so he can't take you all the way. All right, so take the animal and sell it, right? Whatever you could do with the dead animal, maybe you'll get another animal for that. If there's enough value in the carcass of the animal that you could buy maybe a different animal, maybe a younger one or a smaller one, so buy that one and continue with your travel. In other words, this animal was meshubed to you. You hired this particular animal. The animal died, so sell it and buy it. Maybe you could buy another one. There's not enough value in the carcass to buy another live animal. Okay, but fine. Maybe there's not enough value in the carcass to buy a different animal, but there's some value in the carcass. Maybe you could rent another animal from there, right? It's not easy to if it's not easy, we said it's speaking about where he said, look, is the owner responsible to give him another one? Fine. Okay. That's if he said chamor stam. But if he said this chamor, this particular chamor, so why can't he sell it and use the money to rent another animal? What's the problem over here? So what's this? So you can't find, you can't, maybe it's not shchiyach to find the owner because he could tell him, listen, fine. But again, if he said this animal, so let him take this animal and rent another one. You said before, maybe lo shchiach, he's not shchiach, but he could he can't easily just rent another animal, but take the animal. The question was, why would he have to pay? If he can't find another one, why would he have to pay at all? Well, he'd have to pay because at least he went half the distance. Fine. But why can't he now take this money that the carcass is worth and sell it and use the money to rent another animal? The answer is Rav, who was the author of this, who started off by saying, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Bar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Rav Atamei Amar Rav Lo Machlin Karka. When you rent something from somebody, You don't deplete the principal so that there'll be nothing left. In other words, what happened? The owner rented him this donkey. The donkey died. The donkey's worth something dead, right? The carcass is worth something. But if you take the carcass money and you rent another animal with it, what are you going to return to the owner at the end? Nothing. So in a case like that, because the money's gone, right? The animal, you're not giving him back the carcass. You use the carcass to rent another animal. So then you've depleted the whole principle. Rav says you don't do that. Dama Ditmar, we have machlokas about asochas chamor meisel b'chatzi derech. You rented an animal and died halfway. Omar Rav says im yesh b'meilikach ikach. If there's enough value in the carcass, so buy another one. Liskor, but if it's only enough value to rent another animal, al yiskor. Don't do that because you'll deplete the whole value. In other words, give the carcass back to the owner. Don't come back. Don't say your entire principle is gone. Ushmul Omar af liskor yiskor. No. The animal, I rented the animal. The animal's supposed to work for me. I paid for it. If the animal dies, at least I could use the rent. I could use the carcass money to rent another animal. I can deplete. What's the machlok? Because Rav Sover lo machlin karka. We don't deplete the principal, so there's nothing left. Shmuel Sover machlin karka. That's the machlokas we have over here. But Rav says you don't deplete the principal. Let's talk about that. So in any case, over here, what do you do in this case? You paid for half the trip. And the question is, if you rented a animal, if the owner can give you a different animal, and give you a different one. If you rented this animal, what are your choices? You don't have much of a choice. If you could buy another animal with the carcass of this one, then do that. But if you can only rent, Rob says you don't do that. So you're stuck. If you have a complaint that you rented me a bad animal, a weak animal. But Shmuel says you could take the carcass money and rent another one, even though you'll have nothing to return to the owner at the end, because you depleted all the money. The money went for rent. You know, when you pay rent, the money's gone. If you own something, you have something. But if you pay rent, rent money's going to be gone. So he's going to sell the carcass, use it to rent another animal, and then he'll have nothing to return to the owner. But this idea that do we deplete the entire principal or not? Rav says, "Human, we're going to have a kash on him." Meisvei, Yavashil makes the shneim. Let's say, go back to our case of Malva and Lova, the previous parak. The Malva lent the Lova some money. The Lova gave him his tree or his yard as a mashkom, as a mortgage, as a collateral. And he said, "Okay, you work the land. You could stay on the land for 10 years. When the 10 years is up, I don't owe you anything. In other words, I'm paying off the loan by you using the tree or the whatever it gave you this tree. Let's say in the middle of the 10 years, Yavashil and the tree dried up. Oh, Nixus, or it was cut down. A tornado came and knocked it down. What do you do with What do you do now? Shnei Masumbo, neither one nor the mal, neither the Malva nor the Lova can take the wood of the tree. Kate said, yes, what should you do? You look up on Karka. Take the wood, buy a piece of land with it. And then the Malva will eat the fruits of that land. In other words, take the tree, buy some land with it, and he'll eat the fruits thereof for the remainder of the 10 years. Now, over here, keeping the Chimati, what's the advantage of buying a piece of land with it? You buy a piece of land, what happens to the land in Yovel? It's going to go back to the guy that you bought it from. So what are you returning to the Malva, to the Lova in this case? The Lova owned the tree, right? He gave it as mortgage to the Malva. You're returning nothing. Because the land, he had a tree, right? He had a tree. So instead of returning the tree is dead now. It's been cut down or it dried up. So what do? You have a choice. You can either use the wood, but then the wood will be used up. They will have nothing to return. So turn it into land. Take the wood, take the tree, buy a small piece of land with it, and that you'll be able to return to the Lobe after 10 years. Yes. But that piece of land you just bought is going to go back to the guy that you just bought it from in Yovel. So keeping the Yovel, it's going back Lamar to the owner that you bought it from, the Kokalya Karn, and you see that the principal is depleted. So here you see you could do that too. Here you see that's for you buy Karka. So Rav says you don't do a situation where you're going to consume and deplete the principal. Here you're going to deplete the principal. So Shishan. Here it's speaking about when you bought the land for 60 years. In which Yovel doesn't apply. Listen to this. How do you know if you sell a field for 60 years? Not simply because that 60 years goes beyond the Yovel, but Yovel doesn't apply. The land should not be sold in perpetuity. Misha ain sham yovel, Nitzmet says, what land goes back in yovel? Land that if it wouldn't be for yovel, it would stay in perpetuity. Yesham yovel, now that there is yovel, and Nitzmet says, it doesn't stay in perpetuity. In other words, a land that's sold stop. You buy a land, you buy it forever, right? You own your house, you own it forever. Okay, that means that if it wouldn't be for yovel, you'd stay with you forever. That's the one that yovel works. Yovel only works in a case where if it would not be for yovel, it would stay there in perpetuity. Yatzazu, excluding a piece of land or a house that you bought for X amount of time, sha'afa pi she'ein sham yovel, even if there wouldn't be yovel, and so it's not be sold in perpetuity because it's got a time period on it, right? It's got an expiration date, 60 years, 30 years, 20 years, whatever it is. All right, so yovel doesn't apply. Okay, so yovel doesn't apply, but so even if yovel doesn't apply and you're not depleting the principal because it's going back to the owner at yovel, but it's going to go back to the owner when the time is up. You bought it for 60 years or 20 years or 100 years, whatever it is, it's going to go back to the owner then. So you will deplete the principal. Tosa says the Habman is at such a long period of time, that's not considered depletion, but still, you will have nothing to return to Lova. The Kali Karn, and you see, you could deplete the principal. We're speaking about where there is no Yovel. Yovel is not Noeg. And as it wasn't sold for 60 years, you bought a piece of land, the tree died, or the tree dried up, or was cut down. What do you do with the tree? You buy a small piece of land with it, the Malva works that land, and at the end of 10 years, he gives it back to the Lova. He is giving it back. What about Yovel? There's no Yovel v'smanazeh. How can I mustafa that way? Because if we're going to say disakataitach, that what? That there is like Yovel v'smanche Yovel noeg umachlin and karka, and you're allowed to deplete the principle. In this case, being the tree that belonged to the lova. So why do you even bother with buying a tree or with buying a piece of land? Nitzchelitzive, cut up the wood. You said the wood dried up, the tree dried up, or it was cut down. Cut it up with a piece of an ishkali and sell and take the pieces. In other words, sell it off right away. If you're saying you're allowed to deplete it when the tree dried up, so sell off the pieces of the tree, cut it up into firewood or chips or whatever. So if that would be, that's not a kasha. Because I could tell you that la'olam, we are worried about depleting the principle. But zimna the shamalai mashkanta, maybe the years of the mashkanta of the 10 years will finish before yovel, and therefore you will have some property. And even if you're allowed to deplete it, you don't have to deplete it. There could be some time before the could very well, but so why don't you just cut up the tree the way it is? The answer is because it's possible that you will give back the tree to the yovel because the years of the mashkanta will finish before yovel. So if you bought the piece of land, even if it has to go back in Yovel, but Yovel may be after the 10 years is up. Or maybe the Lova will come up with the money. What happened over here? The Malva lent the money for 10 years. And he said, I'm going to take this piece, I'll use the tree for 10 years. The tree died, right? But maybe the Lova will come up with the money in the middle of the 10 years and pay it back. And what did you do with the tree? You bought a piece of land. Okay, so he'll use the land for some period before yovel. In other words, you're returning something to the lova. You haven't depleted the entire principal. So that's no proof. In other words, you want to say it must be that yovel is not noe, right? Because if it would be where yovel is noe, you could consume the karka and you could deplete it. So why don't you just cut up the tree right away? The answer is no. Even if you would say that yovel is noe and you could deplete deplete the kerem, still, you wouldn't cut up the tree because it's possible that maybe the time of the mashkanta, the 10 years, will be up before Yovel. So not necessarily that Yovel is going to interrupt it and deplete the land that you bought with it. So that's what he says over here. Rashi says, "Zim the shalmi mashkanta, zim zam mashkanta, sharam shayah Yovel and mushkan lo yochlo fnei Yovel arba also sharam yochlo as a paris." Maybe you could deplete it, but why don't you cut up the tree right away? Because you don't cut up the tree, better to buy a piece of land because maybe you'll give back that land to the lova. The lova will use that land for several years before he has to return it back. So it's not a kasha on Rav from there. But in any case, what do we see over here? That Rav's original point over here that if you rented an animal and you said this animal, and the animal died and there's no other options, you have to pay for, you know, as long as you for half the trip. And the other, you can't complain to him. And you didn't buy, you didn't say a donkey, but you said this donkey. And this donkey you could sell if there's enough to sell and you could buy another animal with it, fine, do that. And you'll return that animal eventually to the owner. If you can only rent it, if there's only enough money in the carcass to rent another animal, Rav says you shouldn't do that because you'll deplete the principal, whereas Shmuel says you may. Tan Rabbanan, four lines from the bottom of Amud Aleph. Tan Rabbanan. Hasochar, let's say you rented a boat. You rented a boat to take merchandise. You were going to take wine from one place to another. You rented the boat, and the boat sunk. So it's been a betavel, betavel halfway. You were going to take the wine, let's say, from Haifa to Sicily or whatever, and it sunk halfway. Rav Nosson Omer, Im Nosson Lo Yita. Listen to Rav Nosson's halacha. If you paid for it already, if you paid the fare, you paid the rental fee, you can't get the money back. Im lo nasan, but if you haven't paid, don't pay it. Lo yitain. Now that's a strange halacha. Do you owe it? Do you owe the money or not? Right? You rented the boat in order to take wine from one place to another. The boat sunk with the wine. Now, you have to pay or not? So if nasan says, you know, if you paid already, you can't get your money back. But if you haven't paid, you don't have to pay. Now, what kind of halacha is that? Echidim, what's the case? Zubi. Let's say he said, this boat. I'm renting this boat and I want to take wine from one place to another. Now, even though the first boat sunk, the boat sunk and my wine disappeared, but I still am entitled, I can get other wine and take it from one place to another because I said this boat for wine. I want to take wine. So, Nasa, if he paid for it in my league, why shouldn't he get his money back? So, listen, your boat sunk. You had a captain and everything, the boat sunk. And besides the fact that who's going to pay for my wine, right? They didn't deal with the insurance. Who's going to pay for the wine that sunk with the boat? They're not dealing with that question. The question is he entitled to get his money back? Because I didn't get my boat, your boat didn't take me to Sicily. So in Nasan, I'm either way, I shouldn't get his money back. Namely, he should say, Havli Sfinasa, give me the boat. The Anamaisinachamra, I'll bring wine. I rented a boat to take wine. Take some wine. I didn't say this wine. I said to take wine. Now, you didn't give me a boat. You gave me a boat that sunk. Right? Besides paying for the wine that sunk, that's not
hard. But you've seen that they make me listen. Drowning.
Yeah, okay. Sinking, yeah, they're sinking. People drown, boats sink. Yeah, but yeah, okay. So what that's the risk that the renter should take. I rented a boat, take one place to another. If you bought a ticket to New York and the tickets, you know, they stopped in London, they said, get off the plane, we're not going anyway. You know, he said, listen, I paid to go all the way to New York. What are you doing? What do you mean? That's a risk. There's a risk that they're going to run out of gas or that the plane's not going to be able to carry on. You got to give me a boat that'll go from here to there. Now, and we said, this boat. Say, Nelson, give me the boat, raise the boat from the bottom of the ocean. And I'll bring wine. You pay me. You give me my money back. Maybe he said any boat. Rent me a boat and this wine. I'm going to take this wine. Now this wine you can't take anymore. Why? Because it's at the bottom of the ocean. So he says, if that's the case, imlo nasan, I'm either why shouldn't you have to pay? Because the owner could say, the owner of the boat could say, I'll give you another boat. Where's the wine? No, the deal was that wine, that particular wine. Name Malay and I'm based in Lame Havliya, bring me the wine. Get the wine from the bottom of the boat. I'll give you from the bottom of the water. I'll give you another boat. So if that's the case, you have to pay. You contracted with me. I'm going to give you a boat, and you're going to take that wine. Well, bring the wine. I'll give you a boat. You can't bring the wine. The only time this works out that Rav Nosson says if he paid already, he can't get his money back. If he didn't pay yet, he doesn't have to pay. When he told him this boat and this wine. Now, neither one can fill their end of the bargain now. The owner of the boat can't supply the boat. The owner of the wine cannot supply the wine. They're both at the bottom of the water, right bottom of the water. So therefore, only in that case can he say the claimant who says, give me my money back, right? If he says he paid him for his money, he says if he paid him already, he's got a claim. The guy could say, what, you want your money back? All right, bring me the wine, I'll give you a boat. If he didn't pay yet, then the owner of the boat is claiming, pay me, pay me because we had a deal. The guy could say, listen, give me the boat and I'll pay you. Where's the boat? You didn't give me a boat to go to Sicily. So only in that case do we say it's basically a motzi mechaveiro b'raya. If you've paid already, you can't get your money back. If you haven't paid yet, he can't demand the money from you. Avo, the Sfina Stam, the Yayin Stam. Let's say he just said, I'm renting you a boat. And you say, I'm going to take some wine there. Chok, and they split it because neither one has a greater claim than the other one. Rashi says in the beginning of the wide lines, Im Kibo, they split Im Kibo. If he got the money, Yachzer Chetzi. Im Lo Nasan, he hasn't paid Yitin Chetzi. You got to split it. Shere Biyat Shneim, Lahashlim, they can both complete the deal. I could bring more wine. You can give me another boat. Im Yaakov Nitva, if the other guy doesn't want to do it, Melitin Achatzi, let him fulfill his obligation. Otherwise, give me a boat. So in that case, either give him another boat and pay the whole fee, or if neither one can, they don't want to fulfill it, then you split it down the middle. Tanu Rabbanan, Asochra Sestina, four lines from the top of the page on Amud Beis. You rented a boat, Uparka B'chatzi Derech. You unloaded it halfway, right? No sense B'chatzi Derech. Now, I rented a boat to go this distance, and I unloaded it halfway. I only have to pay for half the distance. Ve'ein lo avelav terumus. The owner can only complain and say, apparently, the Balabas said, you should have, you rented it for the whole day. You should have taken it all the way. If the owner could find somebody else to rent it now, what's his complaint? A guy rented a boat, let's say, for the whole day, let's go the whole distance. Halfway through, he unloaded it. That's how we understand the case now. He unloaded it and gave him back the boat. So the owner only has a complaint. Why does he have a complaint? If he can rent the boat for the other day, what's his complaint? If he can't find somebody else, you should pay for the whole thing. You rented the boat for the whole day, for the whole distance, right? And halfway, you unloaded it and gave me back the boat. Why? You paid for the whole day. I can't rent it to somebody else now. Says lo the I could find somebody else to rent it to. Ella, why does he have a complaint? Mishum rafseta, because now, yes, you unloaded it. Now I'm going to hire, I can rent it out to somebody else who's going to load it. Loading and unloading causes wear and tear on the boat, right? You take the stuff off, you're schlepping it, pallets and machines and all that kind of stuff, right? So there's wear and tear on the boat. That's why he has a complaint. If that's the case, that's a valid claim. That's not just simply a complaint. Oh, you stopped in the middle, I could rent it to somebody else. It's going to cost me money because there's going to be more wear and tear. It's like you rent out your car. If you rent out your car to two people, you're going to have more wear and tear than one person. One guy's putting stuff in there, one guy's getting it dirty, one guy's using it a different way. He said he's got a valid claim. It's not simply a complaint. Mammonius, like a bacon, he says, you owe me extra money because for unloading and loading. Elamai parka. What does it mean over he unloaded it? The parka, the tuna bikaveya. Doesn't mean that he unloaded it and gave it back. It means over here is that he loaded it, he unloaded his load, he unloaded stuff onto the boat, meaning the renter rented a boat to go from here to there. Halfway through, he stopped somewhere and he put more stuff on the boat. Now, when you rented the boat, you pay according to the tonnage, according to the amount of merchandise, amount of pallets you put on there. The park of the Tunabikaveya. And he was willing, he had to pay for the extra load, right? At a certain point, you put more load in there, they weigh it, and you pay more. So what's the complaint? Elamaitor, because he changed the conditions. Rashi says it means he thought he would get the boat back right away. Meanwhile, there was an extra stop and they loaded more stuff on. He agreed to pay. He paid according to the tonnage, but he didn't know that there's going to be an extra stop and he thought he was going to get his boat back quicker. Inami, lashli yaseiro, because of the extra weight that the renter put on the boat at this halfway point, the owner had to buy more ropes. What do you mean by ropes? When they went on these canals or these low areas, they would have ropes that would keep the boat in the deeper water so that it shouldn't scrape the bottom. So once there was more of a load, they had to make sure that the boat went into a deeper part of the water. Otherwise, the load would caught in shallow water. The heaviness of the boat, the weight of the boat would come down and scrape the ground. So he had to buy more ropes. That's why he has complaints. He has complaints because, oh, I didn't know that you're going to take longer. I needed more ropes and things of that sort. Tanur about another case. You hired a donkey to ride on it. Now, when you hire a donkey for a ride, there's the owner has what they call a driver, right? He drives the animal, right? He drives the animal. Either he leads it or he's sitting on it, but whatever it was, you need a driver. and you hired it for the ride. You were just going to sit on the animal. Okay, so talking about socher, somewhere like a socher b'dichalaksusa, the socher, the renter, who simply he's just like a, it's like, you know, hiring a bus or a van or something. The socher pays, puts, he can put on there his ksus, his clothing, so his water bottle, you know, his jug or whatever, his canteen. And he could put on the donkey enough food for the entire trip. Let's say it was a 3-day trip. So the guy who rented it for 3 days, says, you rent it, I'm hiring this guy with, like, you rent a boat, you rent a donkey with the driver, and you're going to go for a 3-day trip. He's entitled to put his coat there and his drinks, stuff, and his food for 3 days for the entire trip. If he wants to put anything more than that on there, he's got extra luggage. The driver can prevent him from doing that. He says, there's no more room. The driver is entitled to put his stuff on there too, right? So he says, you could put your basic stuff, your clothing and your water bottle and your food for the entire trip, but no more. And what about the chamar? What about the driver? He's allowed to put on there barley and straw for the donkey to eat, and his own food, shall only for 1 day. Even though it's a 3-day trip, let's call it, the driver, it can only put on 1 day's provisions, right? After this, the socher can say, listen, that's all you're entitled to put on. We're splitting the room over here, right? There's only enough room for my food for the entire trip, my food and clothing. And for your stuff, the driver can only put 1 day stuff on there. So you must say, if you could buy more stuff on the road, so let the chamar, the driver, also prevent the rider, R-I-D-E-R, from putting on provisions for the whole trip. You can always buy stuff. There's plenty of Howard Johnsons or Stokies along the way. You could always find more food. So why is he entitled to put food for the whole trip? Why is the rider entitled to put food for the whole trip? And if you can't find provisions on the way, the rider should not prevent the driver from putting more than 1 day's provisions on his part on the donkey. So if you can't find stuff, right? So the driver should also be able to put on enough provisions for the whole trip. It is possible to make a strong effort and buy stuff from one location to another. Avnam means like one stop to another, like Rashi says, it's from one trip from one Holiday Inn or motel to the X. It is possible to find stuff. From place to place, you could find stuff. The driver, he makes this trip all the time, so he knows how to find food, you know? Even though he's on the road, he knows which cities where he could stop and where he can get food and provisions. Well, the mezman to buy stuff. So but the rider, he's just, you know, hiring this guy to drive him from place to place. He doesn't know the road. He doesn't know the area. He doesn't know how to buy stuff. And therefore, he's entitled to take provisions for the whole trip. You hired a donkey for a man to ride on that. You shouldn't have a woman should not use it. Notice, if you hired it to take a man from place to place as a rider, you shouldn't put a woman on there. Now, why is that? Parshim don't tell you right away. Apparently, maybe because the woman may be pregnant and may have extra weight. Tosa says that doesn't make any difference because a man could be big anyway. So you know what you're doing. But let's say your woman, maybe it's because the assumption was that she was smaller and turned out to be bigger. Surely Isha, if you hired the donkey to transport a woman, then Rochavish, then a man could take her place. Assuming the man is not pregnant, and maybe that's the reason. It makes no difference if you say a woman, whether she's big or little. I feel embarrassed, even if she's pregnant. I feel maniki, even if she's nursing, meaning the child is already born. So the Gemara said, in other words, there's two people. So the Gemara said, Hashta manika, I'm embarrassed, my boy. The way we have the girsa, Tosa doesn't like this girsa, but the way we have the girsa is, if a manika, a woman nursing, that means that she has her baby with her also. If she can ride, when you hire her to take a woman, you could bring her with a baby also. Muberes Mar, certainly if she's pregnant and the baby's not even born, presumably she weighs even less. It means this: even if she's pregnant and she's nursing, as she's allowed to, because a woman might have that extra weight with her. Tosa doesn't like it. Tosa says that a pregnant woman weighs more than a woman with a baby, because chayno se'es atzmo weighs less. In other words, the weight of the baby, even though the baby is already, you know, grown a little bit, is not as much as the pregnant woman who, so to speak, has like a dead weight on her. Okay, two ways to look at it. But in any case, the point is that if you hire to take a man, you can't take a woman. A little bit strange that, you know, the woman weighs more, maybe if she's pregnant. But if you hire for a woman, then any woman's good. Amar Abaya, Shmamani, you see from here that Biniso, Akarsa Tikwa, that when you buy fish, it goes, the weight is based on the stomach. Meaning when you buy fish, might have to mean like a chamemker when you're buying and selling. If somebody sells you a fish and it's got a big stomach, take the food out first. And it's got a big stomach because it just ate. The fish ate something. And that is that you're not getting fish there. You're getting stuff, you know, you're getting stuff that's been ruined or depleted inside the belly. So make sure you clean out the fish first, you know, have it gutted first and get the food out and then weigh it. You know, you don't want the extra weight there. So he says, because the idea also is that a woman, you know, she has the extra weight of her baby that she's carrying. So that you see from here that a fish also, you see from there that the what's in the stomach goes on to the what's in her abdomen, let's say, adds on to the weight. And that's why we have these concerns. Asocha Sapara at the top of the pay, top of the pay. Asocha Sapara Lachish Bahar, similar to what we had the yesterday. You hired a cow to plow on a mountain, right? Where there's some, obviously there was some land there too, but it's a little bit rocky. Bahoshbik, instead you plowed with it in the valley, in Nishbar Kankan Potter. If the plow broke, the coulter, the blade broke, your putter. Why? Because in the Bekaa, it's less likely to get ruined than on the mountain, right? The mountain, it might break, it's rocky. But Vic, if you hired it to use in the Bekaa, and then you used it on the mountain, that's already, you were a bad boy, right? You shouldn't have done that because you were, like we saw yesterday, either you stole it effectively, using it for the wrong purpose, you stole it, or because you were negligent. Harshbar, in this Rakakan Chai, you have to pay for it. Now, Ladush from Kitnis, let's say you hired the cow to thresh, you know, to stamp on the food. If you hired it for to stamp on kitnis, legumes, things like that, pulse, the dush before, and instead use it on the tfuah, your putter if the animal slipped and fell, because the tfuah is less slippery than kitnis. Ladush, but let's say you hired it to, the contract was to thresh grain, the dush, and instead you had to thresh pulse legumes, and you're chayav to pay if it slipped. Neisha kitnis machlekes, because kitnis is more slippery. So the deal was the owner only wanted you to thresh grain, which is less slippery, and you used it in a more slippery situation. Then it's your responsibility. Now, over here, what happened was you hired you rented this cow, right? Now, when you rent the cow, let's say to do plowing, right? So you rented it. You rented it, but it comes along with the owner's workers. When the owner sends his cow to you, you rented a, I need a cow to plow my field. So but the custom was that the owner of the cow would send along his workers to plow. Says the Gemara, Hechad lo shani ba, ma nishalom. Let's say you didn't change the situation, meaning you hired it to work on a mountain and it worked on a mountain. Or you hired it to work on a bika and you use it a bika. Certainly, certainly the problem is only if you hired it for a bika and you use it on the har. But let's say you hired it and used it in the right place and still the plow broke. Who's responsible? Hechad lo shani ba, ma nishalom. So what happened was that there were two workers that would normally go along with the cow. One would have the goad, the stick, to make sure the animal went straight, and one would actually be pushing the plow, would make sure that the plow was down in the ground. He says the one who's holding the stick, he's because since the animal didn't go straight, that's what caused the plow to break. No, the one who's holding the vessel, meaning the plow, he has to pay. The one who's holding the plow, he was closer to it. He should have made sure that the blade did not break. If it's a place that there's a lot of stones there, very rocky place, then there, because there the slightest change in direction could have caused a problem, then they both have to pay. So here we're talking about that the workers of the owner have to pay. He can't say, listen, I'm working for you, right? I'm working for you. In the first case, where he changed the direction, say you're supposed to use him on the bicca and he used them in a mountain. So then it's the renter's problem because the guys who were working the plow just said, look, we came along with the plow. We thought we're going to work in a bicca. He put us on a mountain. It's not our fault. It's the fault of the soaker, the renter. But if they didn't do anything wrong, the renter didn't do anything wrong. He just hired him to use him in the bicca and he used him in the bicca. Then who's responsible if the thing breaks? Then we have machlokas and we say that it's the person who's holding the plow. It's his responsibility. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So we're up to Amar Rabbi Yochanan. That'll be on, that's really the tomorrow's podcast. We'll take you from there, tomorrow's daf.pay. And on Sunday, Mir Tashem, we'll pick it up at the end of Shabbos' daf. Near the bottom, if you look on Pay on the Base, there's a two dots there. Tanan Hossam, five lines from the bottom of the page. We'll pick it up from there on Sunday morning. Shabbat Shalom, Lekulam.
Shabbat Shalom. Regards to everybody.
Responsibility. In all cases, and then
because it's his work, because it's the masker's workers. The top tough says because it's his workers, and the point is if he did the masker's workers and he didn't do anything wrong. If the soaker didn't do anything wrong, he just hired him, and that's right. That's right. It's the masker's workers. That's